Welcome to Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. I'm your host, Lisa Huff. Over the last 5 years, I've coached hundreds of hairstylists and beauty industry professionals, helping them work their dream schedules exclusively with their dream clientele and earn their dream income, all while fostering genuine connections and lifelong friendships inside the beauty industry. In this podcast, we dive deep into abundance, manifestation, business building strategies, and creating a life that you are truly proud of, both behind the chair and at home. Are you ready to embark on a journey of personal growth, success, and sisterhood? Then hit that subscribe button now and get ready to experience the pure magic of Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. I am here with my good friend, Anna. Anna is an OG Soul Tribe member. She has been in my world for over 5 years now, Anna. We have known each other for a long time. We have watched a lot of life pass. It really is with each other. Anna had a big magic idea years ago. You guys are going to hear all about that in this episode. But right now, her story and her role is she is bridging the gap between hairstylists and cosmetic industry insiders. I'm so excited for her to kind of share her story, how her big magic idea dropped in, how that's evolved over the years, and what it is she's up to right now. I've learned so much from you, Anna. You are the first person that pops into my head every time. It just happened the other day. I saw a reel on Instagram that because of Anna's knowledge, I've learned was kind of a crock of shit a little bit. And I sent it to her. I'm like, you need to post about this because the line between marketing jargon and real life facts is actually a lot bigger than any of us have realized. And Anna's really passionate about that. So Anna, why don't you give a quick brief intro, start to tell your story, and we will go from there.
Hey everyone. So I'm Anna from Translating the Label. And I got really into like food being like all natural and organic back before it was cool. Like when people thought I was crazy for doing this. And naturally that led into wanting to have like organic and natural products. So I would always, you know, be seeking those out. And then I wanted to know more about them. Mm-hmm. And I would Google them. And I always felt like the Google searches would just take me to the same information that wasn't really like, I wanted to go deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And I had this like need for deeper information for years. And I just had no idea where to get it. And then I got my ABCH, if you guys don't know what that is, American Board Certified Hair Colorist. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to find more like, non-branded education.
Yeah.
So then I found this education this company that does education for hairstylists. And they had this thing, this color certification called Freaks and Geeks. And I don't know about like you, Lisa, but I always feel like as far as like behind the chair education, I can never know enough about color.
Yeah.
And in that class, it was like a 4-day class. It was pretty intense, but they started talking about supporting ingredients in hair care and like what those actually do.
Yeah.
And that finally.
What year was that class? What year was that class?
Oh, gosh. I want to say like maybe I took it in like 2017, 2018.
Okay.
But somewhere around there. It was a while ago. And finally, after I took that class, it all started to click. I knew exactly where I needed to go for the information. And I needed to start looking into like cosmetic chemistry and like what's happening in there, which also led me into wanting more information about like brand management and regulation. And then how does it all come together? Mm-hmm. And I was also, like many hairstylists, searching for a clean list of ingredients, which, spoiler alert, I have never found.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I did find out why I could not locate a clean ingredients list. Okay. And
I'm going to interrupt you real quick because you are throwing a lot of words at everyone. And I have been along on this journey with you. So I've watched you uncover these things. And so to me, it's like now become second nature. But I know a lot of these things that you're saying are going to be like, translate that for me. No wonder we call it translating the label. So One, you're not actively behind the chair anymore currently. This has evolved into something else. So Anna has gone, I mean, she's also very much a stay-at-home full-time mom as well, but she has also gone full-time into like exploring this, digging into this. So when you say you haven't found clean ingredients, I know what you're talking about because I watched you come to that realization. I guess, do you remember the moment when you realized, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, because the way that you learn something, you bring it back to Soul Tribe, I process it in my own way and make up my own kind of story about it. But like, to me, what I, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I have learned from you is that like everything we talk about when it comes to clean or safe or sustainable or eco-friendly, maybe not everything, but 99.9% of the things is significantly marketing terms, right? Like, was your realization around a clean list of ingredients that doesn't exist? What even is clean? What even is natural, right?
Right, exactly. So I remember putting all of these pieces to the puzzle together and realizing what was actually going on there. And like you said, it was all marketing and just feeling very betrayed just by the beauty industry as a whole. And it actually took me a little while to like get over that
Like that
myself.
was a roadblock that you had to really work through, because for a while. So did you just kind of like lose hope, or like, I
No.
guess, what was the realization of that? Of like, okay, all these things that I've been seeking out because food has told us, food companies have told us that, hair care products have told us that. We go to cosmetology school, they say you can only use professional products because it only has the better ingredients, or you can only eat these foods because they're the only things that are safe. And you're discovering, wait a minute, like, what is your overall discovery through all that?
Okay, so everything that we're told as far as like the products and like what makes them exciting and the ingredients, the majority of that is just marketing. There hasn't been really any significant innovation or discoveries in hair care for decades, like 40 years, maybe longer, which was, but these brands at the same time, without having like these significant breakthroughs and innovation, all that, these brands still have to make their products sound exciting so that we want to like buy it and we want to pass it along to our client. So, and if they don't do that, they're going to go out of business.
Yeah, it's the name of the
So,
game. Same thing.
so it's a
Same thing with
cycle.
us. I mean, obviously, we get specializations, we continue our education, we bring on amenities, but at the bare level of it, we're not doing anything much different than anyone else. But it's marketing, and not that marketing's evil or wrong or anything like that.
No.
It's just another piece of what keeps the world going around, right? So you
Exactly.
finally got over your feelings being hurt, and you're like, okay, first I feel betrayed, but now I understand it is marketing. I'm over here trying to create a business. I have to market myself. Like, everybody has to do that. And now it seems that you have this more, just this perspective, this lens to see through of, they're not lying, it's just simply marketing. And that is what it is, right?
Exactly. Or like they're only giving you like a small piece of the information. Like, okay, just for example, we're always told that sulfates are very drying and they're going to dry out our hair and strip our hair color, right? Well, yes, sulfates, when you use them like at high quantities or at 100%, they will absolutely dry and irritate your skin. Like that, no one is ever going to dispute that. That's a very clear fact. But what they're not telling you is that they're actually used in really small quantities. They're only putting enough in there to effectively cleanse the hair. But then they know that sulfates are harsh. So they're going to put like conditioning agents in there to help buffer that. They're also going to put other cleansing ingredients that help buffer those drying effects as well. So they're not just using one cleanser like in a shampoo. Most brands use at least three, if not more. I mean, you could use one, but it's not going to give you that desired user experience. And then when it comes to professional products, like they want us to repurchase and they want us to get excited and pass this along to our clients. And obviously, we're not going to sell or use products on our clients that are going to destroy the color we just did. So, user experience is king. The other thing is that every single effective cleansing ingredient, because that's what sulfates are, has the ability to dry out your hair and strip your color and all that kind of stuff. But then here's the where it gets really interesting. Cleansers are not, they can contribute to color fading, but they're not the main color fading culprit.
Okay, what is?
It's actually water.
Okay, I remember you've said that before. Okay, so let me just strip this away. I want to preface everyone, and I don't know how, you listening to this listener, hello. You may be in Soul Tribe, you may know who Anna is, you may be hearing all this for the first time. I remember when all of us heard this for the first time. It is so hard to break through what has been pushed into our brain since day one of cosmetology school, honestly, even beyond then, watching commercials your entire life. I remember when Anna set came back from this big magic idea, from these realizations into Soul Tribe, and said, like, here's what I've learned about sulfates, parabens, and silicones, right? Those would be the three. Yeah. And she was like, basically, I'm gonna translate what
Go for
Lisa
it.
thinks, which is very just basic, almost like caveman terms. If a brand is saying there's no sulfates, which we have been saying that for years behind the chair, because that's what product knowledge marketing tells us. Like, the only time we learn about the products that we're using on our clients is when the brand teaches us about them. So, of course, that's a biased opinion. When Anna came back and said, like, if it says there's not a sulfate, the only way they can get away with that is they're using a sulfate substitute, and that's literally all just marketing. That's all that all is. Because, right, something cannot cleanse your hair, tell me if I'm wrong, without having some form or of a sulfate or a sulfate alternative, correct?
Yeah, you have to have an ingredient in the shampoo for cleansing. I mean, you can use sulfates for that. There's plenty of alternative options out there, and they all have a reason for existing. But you need to have an effective cleanser. You need to have something to buffer the effects of the effective cleanser. And then you also usually want to put in something in there for foam. Because even when you have
As the
sulfates,
users love that feeling.
they still like to add, better foaming effects. Exactly. So, or like
Interesting.
when you see that parabens aren't in there, parabens are a preservative if you didn't know, and preservatives are a legal requirement in cosmetics worldwide. So, it's not just like a US thing. This is everywhere in the world. So, brands still have to put in something, to preserve the product so that they don't go bad in less than a week.
I remember when you told me that too. You said somebody saying they don't have a paraben, then they have a substitute, which is basically the same thing. And marketing has just told you parabens are bad, so let's use this other thing that isn't called that so we can say that. But Anna said if it didn't have anything like that, you'd have to store it in your refrigerator and it would literally go bad in a week. Like, there's no way any product sitting on any shelf anywhere does not have a preservative in it. That's impossible. But for somehow, through the years, through capitalism, through all of this, we have deemed certain ingredients, what do you call them? Fear.
Yeah, they call it fear mongering.
Okay, so we have like these fearful ingredients that are no, these are bad. And then we also have, which this has become really cool to me now that I've learned this from Anna, is these like celebrity ingredients. That's what you call them, right? These ingredients that we're saying make these big changes, but what did you learn about those? And then give us some examples of what those are.
So they can be called celebrity ingredients, story ingredients, marketing ingredients. They have a variety of different terms. But and these celebrity ingredients, now these are crucial for a product. Like you have to know this, what you want to put in it from the beginning.
Crucial for a product, for a brand, for a
For a brand,
business standpoint.
yes.
Okay. So not crucial to get the hair, the job done with the hair, right?
No,
Just a
not
brand
at all.
couldn't survive without these story ingredients.
I mean, some of them
Interesting.
could because there's other ways to go about this,
Okay.
but they'll put in these story or celebrity ingredients. Sometimes they benefit the hair, but a lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
They just add them to the product to talk about to make the product sound exciting. Why they're called a story ingredient or a celebrity ingredient. And I mean, there are things like olive oil. We know that that is very beneficial for the hair and serves a lot of things. However, you put it in and it's going to add some benefits, but the most of the benefits that you notice are actually going to come from things that are a lot more boring to talk about or sometimes even taboo to talk about.
Like what? What would be an example of taboo?
Okay, so an example of taboo would be like silicones. Silicones are like they're put in there for a lot of conditioning ingredients. They give the hair slip. You know, they provide heat protection, humidity protection. They put them into shampoos for to make them color safe. That's actually one of the main color safe ingredients for shampoo is silicone. Or sometimes the ingredients are boring to talk about, like fatty acids or fatty alcohols. Those are conditioning ingredients, but like, I mean, how could you really make that sound
But
exciting as a
oatmeal
marketer?
sounds so much more better than fatty acid. So we say that it's oatmeal, or we say that it's this berry, or we say that it's anything like that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, can I ask you
Absolutely.
this, which we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so you can tell me what direction you want to go with this. Do you feel comfortable calling out like specific brands just to use them as examples so people know what we're talking about, or does that make you a little uncomfortable?
Okay, so I don't. Part of what I do is I like to leave the brands anonymous. I don't want to promote the brands. I also don't want to speak like negatively of the brands.
Fair.
However, sometimes I will use a brand like L'Oreal or Schwarzkopf as examples. And the only reason I use them is because they're like beauty conglomerates and they own so many.
Okay, fair.
But
I think that's totally fine. So I've had my own realizations, and now I can see so clearly when, which of course, that's what we're all doing on social media. A brand is going to market to these story ingredients because that's part of their marketing strategy. That's why they're in business. That's why they're successful. That's why they get to keep growing and, creating products that we all like. Okay, so what I think is interesting with what you've done with this and how you're now helping stylists, I think it's very honorable that you aren't like slandering or trying to create any major drama because you understand where these brands are coming from. How would
absolutely.
you say a stylist can decide, say they're bringing on a new, product line to carry behind the chair, say they're taking on a new color line or something like that. How do you think that stylists can decide if a brand is in alignment with their own business's values and things like that to move forward with that? Because obviously, we know some of this is marketing mumbo jumbo, which is fine, but how do we decide which brands really feel in alignment that way?
Okay, so the first thing you should do is write down your values,
Okay.
right?
How does
And
one
think.
do that? Where would you even say we begin with that? Like, is that core values as a human? Or how does that turn into brand?
Okay,
What
just
do you
like
think?
what are some ideal things that you would like to see in a brand? Like, are you concerned about allergens? Are you concerned about ingredients? Are you concerned, let me think, about the environment? Are you concerned about a brand supporting stylists? Like,
Are you
write
concerned
down,
about transparency? Are you concerned about inclusivity? Are like what is important to you? It's going to be different for everybody.
the list can go on and on. So first thing I want you to do is write all of those down and figure out what your core ones are. And then from there, go into a brand that you're either using or maybe interested in using. Go onto their website and read through their About Me page and see how much information they. First of all, see if they touch upon your values. And then if they do, see how much information they provide about that. And you can also look to see like what kind of, if you really want to get into it, what kind of terminology is it? Like, are they being very vague or are they being very specific? And then that should help you decipher, you know, is this a brand I want to work with or not? Do we have the same values? When you have the same values as the products you're using, you're going to get very excited about those products. And then that's going to shine through to your clients and get them excited about it too.
And then fair to also say, obviously, which we all are already doing this, but try the product, see how you like it, because that's what I have found so interesting. And I think this is why you come back to values, because again, Anna went digging for more information. And as anticlimactic as this is, you really found they're none of them are really that different from each other, right?
No, they're not that different.
Which is
Another
so
thing
crazy.
that was really interesting is there's no clean ingredients list out there, but one of the reasons there's no clean ingredient list out there is because you can say something bad about every single ingredient that is used, including water. Did you know water can kill you in multiple ways?
Yeah, that's funny.
Obviously drowning, but you can also ingest too much of it and get poisoned.
So there's no such thing as like these ingredients are good, these ingredients are bad. That doesn't exist. You dug deeper and you cannot find that anywhere.
Correct.
And what I also found interesting, and I hate to even say this because I know this is going to rub hairstylists the wrong way. We've already been through our like grieving process. Would you also agree? I know we've had this conversation that like you discovered from an ingredient level and maybe what's the word I'm looking for? Results level. I don't know. Are drugstore products not that different when you break it down as professional
Oh,
products?
yeah. So people always ask me this, and I hate the answer to it, but it doesn't change what the answer is.
I still can't wrap my head around it. And
Okay. So,
yeah, go ahead.
when a brand is like creating their products, everybody can shop from the same suppliers. Like, there isn't like you go to these suppliers for professional hair care lines and you go to these. No. It's all the same ingredients. I mean, there's lots of them out there, so
Totally.
don't get me wrong on that.
For sure.
Everybody has access to the same stuff, to the same suppliers. And what it really comes down to is it's actually not the ingredients that really make the difference. It's the formulation and the people formulate. So it's kind of like I always tell people, it's like a good chef versus a bad chef. Like,
Okay. I love that analogy.
you could send we'll say a world-renowned, like 5-star chef to Aldi, and they can get you, or Walmart, and they can whip you up like the meal of your life, right? And then you can also just send like a cook or just a 1-star chef to Aldi or Walmart, and they'll give you what you would expect, right?
Okay, now we didn't plan this ahead of time. This is just my brain being curious now. Love that analogy. I don't think I've ever heard you say that. And that actually brings me more peace. Because yes, a chef is going to give me a way, 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 way better meal with that Walmart food than I would be able to create so when it comes to, maybe you don't even know this answer, I'm just curious now, when it comes to the hiring process of these professional lines, these salon quality lines versus the big box store whatever lines, what roles and jobs does that chef, let's call them, just understand the brand more? Do they have a bigger budget to work with? What really makes it different?
So this is a whole rabbit hole, Lisa. So it's really the cosmetic chemist or the formulator that's going to make the biggest difference. But they can kind of come from anywhere, because there are going to be like some indie brands who are created by cosmetic chemists, right? So they can make their own formulations. There could be some other brand going to a contract manufacturer to get the formulation. And then you're going to have, like, we'll say your L'Oreal's or like your Schwarzkopf or your Henkel's or your Procter and Gamble, whatever. They're going to have very extensive like R&D departments. They have like the money to invest in everything, right? Which also puts them under much higher scrutiny, because if they make one misstep,
That's very
everybody's after
interesting.
them.
That's very interesting. My brain still can't really wrap my head around that like those brands that we all know, we're not going to name names, but like that they actually probably have a better, more robust research and development team than maybe even what we're carrying on our shelves. Because that's bizarre to me, because I'm sorry, I don't know if it's placebo, Anna, or what it is, but I can tell you, I know drugstore products make my hair feel like garbage. But I guess maybe I'll think of that as the chef analogy. It's
Is
not the
definitely the chef
ingredients
analogy.
themselves that do it.
It's not the ingredients, it's the chef or the
Oh,
cosmetic chemist.
yep. So fascinating. Okay, we kind of touched on this a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more on fear-based marketing versus science. So, I mean, I guess we touched on a little bit. Do you have more to unpack there? I know we talked about celebrity ingredients. We talked about the fear, the bad, but here's what science actually tells us. What else? What other thoughts do you have around that?
Yeah, so you can say something bad about every ingredient out there if you want to, which is why nobody will put together a clean ingredients list, because competitors, it would just be very easy for them to tear that apart. They
Yeah,
can
that's
just
not
go to the
true. Okay.
technology report for everything and just look for there's bad and good stuff in every toxicology report, and you can just cherry pick out the bad and showcase that.
Wow.
So
Okay. So if someone truly wanted to be clean, granola, hippy dippy, true, I mean, is that Castile soap? Like what is like the cleanest version of cleaning yourself without?
okay, so this is actually going to be very subjective, and
Okay.
the answer is going to vary from person to person. So
Okay.
yeah, so somebody could say Castile soap. Somebody else like could say efficiency of the ingredients,
Okay, tell me
right?
more.
And
Unpack that.
so ingredients that do what they're supposed to do efficiently and in small quantities, and don't require, let's see, formulas that don't require a ton of
Ingredients.
ingredients, you could argue that those are going to be the cleanest because they're going to take the least amount of resources.
But
Right?
what you're thinking is how effective is that? Do all of these other ingredients aid in the effectiveness of those few ingredients?
So you can make like, I'm just going to say shampoo for as my main example because it's just easy.
Yeah.
But you could make a shampoo with like less than 10 ingredients. And you could make a really good shampoo with that. But
Okay.
you can also make a really good shampoo with like 70 ingredients, like
Same
it
way
kind
you
of.
can make a good meal with 10 or with 70 ingredients.
Exactly.
That's a good analogy. I can't believe I've never heard you say that before right now.
I feel like maybe I should say it more.
You should. That really landed well with me. So yeah, I think you should. Okay. I just had a thought and I just lost it for a second. Let me find it again. I know that I had it. Okay. If you were, maybe you don't have the answer to this too. I feel like I'm really grilling you, but I just love geeking out on this. If you were going to make your own line and you had all the resources and you had everything to do, from what you know now, going from this super organic, super crunchy person with all these questions and curiosities, would you try to make your line have less ingredients, or like what are your thoughts on that
Okay, so
from
like
what
for
you've learned?
my personal values,
Okay.
because like which could vary from every single person who's listening to this. So
Okay.
what I'm saying is not like gospel or gold here. This is just what aligns with my values. But I like the idea of using small quantities of efficient ingredients that get the job done, that take the least amount of resources from the earth, that just do a good job. Performance. Oh, also performance is king.
Okay.
So above all else, like I would want the products to do exactly what they say they're going to do using, again, the
And you would
least amount
almost
of.
build your brand and your story around the lack of storytelling brand, like ingredients, right?
Absolutely do that.
Interesting. Okay. So can we talk a little bit about like your personal and translating the labels values around sustainability, eco-friendly? Because I know that you've also learned a lot in this journey you've been on of research and stuff, like on what it actually means for a brand to be sustainable, what it eventually means for our industry to become sustainable. Deep dive into that a little bit.
Oh, okay. So sustainability has so many different avenues. Like
Yeah.
for me, when I look at sustainability, I always look like, because I always say that I'm like a closet tree hugger. So I'm always looking at it from like an environmental perspective, but
Yeah.
other people could look at it from like you could like human rights and
Yeah.
money. There's
The
so many different
complex
aspects.
world we live in, yeah.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of different ways you need to be sustainable. Ideally, like I would want the packaging to use as the least amount of plastic as possible.
Okay.
I've learned a lot about packaging, and packaging is it's really tough because we have too much plastic in the world, but now plastic is currently our best option takes like that doesn't have a huge carbon footprint, but then we're leaving plastic behind. It's not ideal. And then there's problems with like all the other materials. So anyways, I would like to see the least amount of plastic used as possible. Right now, I think the best option is those pouches. Seeing those.
Refill programs, kind of, or refill pouches and things
Yeah,
like
there
that.
is. Yes,
Okay.
usually in a refill program. But using pouches because that uses significantly less plastic than a typical bottle. Of course, would like the ingredients to be minimal. Also, the ingredients that are in there, I would like them to all be ethically sourced and harvested. And I, even though I really like natural ingredients, those are very appealing to me. But sometimes you need to substitute because maybe like the area of the world that they were coming from, like maybe that area just needs a break.
Yeah. And sometimes
Right?
creating that in a lab is actually more efficient and cleaner than taking it from the natural source.
And I'm not saying that that should be done like with everything and we should use that
Wow.
exclusively, but having some kind of a balance between
Balance.
that is, I think, is a good thing. I mean, natural when possible, but if we're depleting a natural ecosystem to get like some natural ingredient and then we devastate it and wipe it out, like, or a forest is cut down so that we can have more land to harvest that, like, no, thank you.
Yeah, that is so fascinating. So can I turn this a little bit now too? And I think I know your opinion on it, but I don't know for sure. There's obviously a movement right now. Like you said, you were into this before it was cool, but it is very cool right now. I have not fully jumped on that cool train because unless I'm like super passionate like you were about something, I just don't get behind trends and little things that I've heard. And now, even with what I've learned from you, I realize a lot of it is kind of marketing. You know, I see through it a lot easier. What are your thoughts around people like calling products toxic?
Oh, okay. So that's misinformation.
Tell me more.
Okay. So toxicity is determined by the dose and the how you're exposed to it. Oh, and the yeah. So that's what creates the poison. It's actually not the substance itself, which
Same thing,
that's
like you said, water with the right dose and how you're exposed to it becomes toxic. Same with everything else.
we all like you salt your food, right? Same. But
Dose and how it's used. Yep.
like if you put that whole, if you were to ingest that whole shaker and nobody go and do this because I don't want to show up to your court
Yes.
hearing. If you ate that, like you could kill yourself.
And again, how it's ingested. If you shoot that into your vein, you're definitely going to die. So that's
Yes.
very interesting versus it rinsing off your head down a drain.
Exactly. So legally, and this is again a worldwide thing, no proven toxic ingredients can be used in hair care or cosmetic anywhere. Now, people's, I will say, opinion or beliefs around what is and what is not toxic, you know, varies all over the place, but the regulatory bodies have to go on evidence. And you know, so it all has to be evidence-based, and then they have to use that. So saying that something is toxic, it once you know a little bit more about toxicity and how cosmetics come together and you know have a basic understanding of regulations, it no
And
it
I don't know. I know that's gonna ruffle some people the long way or the wrong way because you've got so committed to this, the same way Anna had to go through that grieving process. I
yeah.
know there are people who have gotten so committed to this like clean lifestyle. And honestly, like you said, there is a plethora of reasons to fall to devote yourself to something like that. And if that still is in alignment for you, beautiful. But it personally brought me a ton of peace when you shared that information with me. I'm just going to use an example and I won't use a brand again, just keep it, you know, your wishes with that. But I remember this was a couple years ago. There was a thing circulating around on Facebook about like a plug-in like scent thing and how it's like super duper toxic and it kind of freaked me out. I had those in my house and I know I've heard people and I don't know if your feelings have changed on this at all because it's been a long time since we talked, but you said things really aren't allowed to be on the market that are toxic, Lisa, like that.
So those can take an interesting turn though, because
Okay.
if you have like one in a room, you know, that's how it's like intended to be used. But let's say you put them in every single outlet. in your house, then you could be like overexposing yourself, and that could be not be good for you or your health.
Interesting.
So you can always like take something, we'll say
Too far.
too far. Yeah.
But again, in your digging and what you've uncovered, is it fair to say currently in the hair and beauty industry, you cannot think of anything specific that is feeling toxic and that you would not use yourself?
Correct.
Like, you went looking for that. You were
I
open
did.
to finding that and fully getting on board with it, and you couldn't find
Oh,
it.
I was on a hunt.
That's so fascinating.
And then my hunt just got completely turned upside down.
I love talking about this with you, and I really love, and I just want people to hear this. You could find that if you are consuming brand content, because they are going to tell you how their competitors are
Yes.
dangerous or this. But once Anna removed the bias from it, removed the brand from it, and went to a chemistry level, it's a whole different story there,
It is
right?
okay, and I also want to just point out that, like, you go into like just like I did, you go into like looking for clean ingredients, you go into like avoiding toxic ingredients with the best of intentions. Like, if this is your concern, you have good intentions, you have good morals, you want the best for yourself, your family, your clients, and
Clients.
everybody else around you. So, I just really want to highlight that because everybody who's like in this is in it from love.
Totally. And I think if this is landing with you, if this isn't landing with you, literally turn it off and keep doing what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. But if this is landing with you, what I find is very interesting is Anna didn't just ditch that desire to find what really feels right to her. She just shifted it. And she was like, okay, it is environmental, it is humanitarian, it is all these other things. But when she really dove into chemistry, it wasn't ingredients.
It was not ingredients. Okay. Also, too, if you're somebody who's like doing a lot of research, I just want to like encourage you to seek out like cosmetic chemistry resources and that kind of information. So I have a link. I actually have a page on my website that I call Resource Hub.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. And that resource hub has a bunch of different resources that you can go and check out. And don't just use that as like your stopping point. Feel free to use that as like a place to like grow and expand. Like, I see this resource. What else? Like, if you want to dig deeper and just use it as a starting point if you're really into like doing the research, because I put some of my favorites in there of places where I like to go and refer to and like where I learn a lot of stuff from. And I put that together because this information was originally so hard to find. Like I said, I was busy.
You have spent years researching this.
And previously I spent years Googling this and just coming up to dead ends and not knowing where to get the information that I was craving.
Now, is there, I'm curious, almost like a curtain, like the same way us as hairstylists listening to this, sorry to those of you that aren't hairstylists listening to this, there's a bit of a curtain of when you step in the supply shop. The prices are different than what clients see. Like, there's a lot of things that clients don't get to know about that we know about, and it should be that way. The same way my dad does HVAC, he should be able to get parts and stuff for way cheaper so that he can wholesale them. Did you find that there's that in chemistry? Like, how did you get into that like next layer, or does that not really exist the same way it does for us?
I mean, I felt like I more like smashed through a wall, came through a curtain, just because the information was so different. And it took, like I said, it like we had said previously, it really took me a long time to like accept it, get over my hurt feelings, and start like critically thinking about it.
And
Because I
dissolving all the beliefs that had been ingrained from marketing your whole life.
Yes. And I realized that I wasn't really critically thinking about it before. And then when these other points were brought up, I'm like, oh yeah, it wouldn't make sense if, like, I'm just going to say, like, L'Oreal, for example, was putting in ingredients that would slowly kill their customers. Like, well, who would buy the products
Why
after
would they
these
do
people?
that? But capitalism has made us believe that that is just how the world is run. There's always the next bad thing out to get you. And that's why I find the information that you've uncovered, it gives me peace. It makes me feel better. And then you just get to make informed decisions from there. Like you said, it all boils back down to what your values are and what's important to you.
Yes, and that's my goal is to bring people peace and to or yeah, to bring people peace and to align stylists with their values, but also to help you like up level your conversations behind the chair. Because
You're not just spewing the same thing you've heard, that where none of us are getting the results because it's not really that. Like you said, if you critically think about it, it's not really sound information.
exactly. Or when I was working behind the chair, I had a handful of ladies that were root touch-up clients. I like loved my root touch-up clients. And their hair color kept fading, and they were literally following all of my instructions to the T. And then when I found out that like it wasn't the shampoos or the sulfates that was fading their color, man, we turned them around in one appointment.
So how'd you turn them around? You figured out it was water. What do you do different?
I just said, well, then I started digging into like, okay, well, what is your routine? Because one woman had stopped. She was washing and conditioning her hair every day. And then I'm like, okay, well, spread it out. So she started doing that. And it was still, she would come back from a level seven and she would come in like a level nine. And I'm like, I don't understand. If like you're using sulfate-free shampoo, now you're washing your hair like twice a week versus every day. I'm like, what is the problem? And then it turns out she was still getting into the shower every single day, getting her hair wet, putting conditioner on it, rinsing it out. And like you would
Thinking the
think.
shampoo was the culprit, and all of us would think that as well.
And but like she eliminated the shampoo most of the time, just using conditioner. And you would think
But it
that
was
would
the
put her
water.
hair in. It was the water.
So if she just kept her hair dry for those stretches in between, she wouldn't have had that same issue.
Exactly. So we started, we figured that out and instant success.
Wow. That is so fascinating. I literally thought of my mother-in-law instantly because she's the same way. She has to wash her hair every day. But I think she said, my mother-in-law has an interesting hair care routine, and I do her hair. Kim, I love you if you're ever listening to this. Just got to preface with that. She washes her hair in the sink in the morning over her kitchen sink. Her mom does it too. It's just what they've always done. And then she showers every night to wash off the day, you know. But when she wakes up in the morning, she said she has such bad bedhead, she has to wash her hair every morning before she goes to work. But she also has like hard water at her house, and she's blonde, so we're always fighting against this like orange that comes through. And on this bang piece right here, it's like super orange. We keep Malibuing it, we keep fighting through it, but we discover that it's because she's showering so many times. And then what, even when she's not washing her hair in the shower, she's pushing this wet hair out of her face over and over again, getting that spot wet. And so yeah, it's just, I love that. Instead of just what's another thing I can sell you, which I know that's none of our intention, but we're trying to give solutions.
Solve their
I
problems.
love, yeah, see, but you said get a little bit deeper. It's not always a product that solves the problem. Sometimes it's the routine, the behaviors, things like that. Love it.
100%. And I'm sure
So,
everybody has figured that out, like with one of their clients and something else, because we do this all day.
Okay, Anna. So, if people are listening to this, you probably blew a lot of minds. I can't wait to have the clips to share on social media. I feel like this is going to be really good clickbait, but it's not even really bait because it's actually just conversations that people aren't having. And it makes me really excited to share that with the industry. How are you helping hairstylists right now? If people are listening to this, what's your medium to help spread this message to people?
Okay, so right now, what I have is I've started assembling a library of, I call them product line reviews, where we talked about this a little bit earlier when we were talking about aligning with your values and a brand. So I have gone through some, professional hair care lines, not, yeah, I'm only doing professional hair care lines. I'm gonna
Okay,
put
because
that out
that's what
there first.
hairstylists are gonna back bar anyway.
Yes, absolutely. So I go through and I review a brand's like about me page, and I basically review their whole website And I take the clips, like the highlights, and then I break those down. Like, what does this mean from a behind the scenes perspective? And then I share that. And the goal with these product line reviews is just to give you like a deeper insight into the brand's values to help you line up with a brand,
Love.
that meets your values. All of the reviews come with a free from translation. So
Okay.
the brand says we're free from XYZ ingredients, I'll tell you,
What
here's
that
the
means.
ingredient, here's its function.
Ooh.
Not like this is good or bad or toxic or any of that stuff, like
Yeah.
ingredient function. So you get a translation of that. You also get two versions of the review. You get a mini version and then a full version.
Because some people need all the information, some people get overwhelmed by that.
Exactly. And just know, like, it goes, the information that's on each review is based off of the information that is on each brand's website. So some of them are quite lengthy and some of them are short.
Depends on what the brand gives.
Yes,
And
it
then are
just
you
all
still breaking down the ingredient list as well, or is it just the free from list?
just a free from list. Doing the
Okay.
whole ingredient list can get to be
A lot of information.
a lot. Yeah. I mean, if you want that, you please, I'm happy to do it for you. Just send me an email and I will do that
But
for.
like we said, we've come to the realization that the ingredients don't change a whole lot about the product.
Well, the story ingredients don't change a whole lot about the product, but how the
The
ingredients
effective
come together
safety.
is.
Yes. And you can then share, these celebrity ingredients, these story ingredients. And I, like you did on that reel, that I, when I was like, hey, talk about this, you were like, it does help with this. It does help with this. It's not like it's hurting anything. But the main thing here is it's a story and that we get to market with that.
Yes.
Love that.
Also, so I have product line reviews. I have a bunch of them done, but if there's one I don't have done that you want, let me know and I'll do it up for you. My turnaround's about a week.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't want to purchase a product line review, I do have a free resource called a product line guide.
Love.
So it just guides you on doing this yourself.
Cool. Awesome.
So
I'm so excited about this. And I'm sure there's going to be a ton of people. So if you are listening to this and you're like, I want to know more about the products that are sitting on my shelf right now that I'm selling to my clients, or I'm moving salons, or I'm opening up my own suite or something, and I'm trying to decide what line to bring in. That's a big investment. That's a big decision. I
it
think
is.
running it with through Anna and making sure that you align with those values is probably a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the goal and intention. The other like side effect from it is you are just going to get like straight unbiased information from a source who's not trying to sell to you because
That
you buy
isn't
this
being paid by
review.
the company. Yeah.
I don't care if you purchase the product or not. Like
Yep.
that's your decision to make.
And it's called translating the label for a reason. It's like Anna went and learned another language, and now she gets to be our translator. And I think that's really cool. And I love that you're helping stylists in that way. So I will put your website, I will put all the ways to get in touch with Anna in the show notes of this. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Oh yeah. So my whole goal with all of this is really just to is to up level the stylist and help you to be not just a person that does somebody's hair, but I want all of you to be seen as like a true hair care expert,
Yeah.
which the marketing information isn't.
Sometimes helps you be that. Sometimes you end up stuck and you can't find a
Yes.
solution. And this might be, yeah.
And answering those questions that you weren't previously able to answer.
Yep. Love it. Cool. Thank you so much, Anna. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Like I said, all the information will be in the show notes, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. Before we wrap up, I've got some exciting news to share. My brand new course, Mindset to Magic, is finally here. This isn't just any course, it's a proven roadmap for transformation, combining personal development with explosive business growth. Through the seven transformative pillars, from embracing an abundance mindset to unlocking big magic in your life, we'll journey together towards your wildest dreams. If you've been enjoying this podcast, you are going to love this course. Click the link in the show notes, and I cannot wait to welcome you into Mindset to Magic.